Blog Talk Radio.
Speak your mind, express yourself. Speak your mind, express yourself. For this is Speak Free Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Today's another day. This is your boy, Brian Crenshaw, and we're glad that you have joined us at Speak Free Radio. Hopefully, everybody's having a great day. We apologize for the tardiness. There was some technical difficulties. However, the Lord is still worthy. The Lord is still great. So, yes, today is October 12th, and we're looking to have a great show for you guys. Like we always do, we pray before we get started. So let us pray. God, we thank you. God, we honor you. God, we just magnify your name, thanking you for just being God to us. Thank you for all you've done for us, all that you're doing for us. God, we ask right now that you bless us, bless the show, God, bless the listeners, and bless the words that Corey and I speak. Let it be helpful to someone. Let it uplift spirits. Let it bring joy to someone's day. God, we honor you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Once again, today is October 12th, and we are still in the identity crisis. We're wrapping up the identity crisis segment of our show. We've had some great dialogue, Corey and myself. We've had some great dialogue with just the topic of identity crisis and how it's affected the body of Christ, how it's seeped into our churches, and where it came from, or, you know, but however, we want to be solution driven. So although we understand the problem, we know that there is a solution, and in prayer has become the solution. Prayer is what we know we need to get through this. Prayer, intercession, restoration, restoring one another, keeping one another lifted. We understand that that's what's going to really, really drive this identity crisis thing out of the body of Christ. Feel free to call us. We would love to hear from you. If there's something that you want to discuss via Speak Free Radio. If you're radio shy, you don't want to be on live, Corey and myself, you can both hit us up. Text us, Facebook us, anything of that nature. We would definitely love to hear from you. One thing that I wanted to discuss, and this will be probably on a later show, is I wanted to really address the influx of business owners. I spoke with Corey about it yesterday, and we're going to do something special for all of our business owners out there. Whether your business is large, whether your business is small, whatever avenue you decide to take, we want to be a blessing to you guys. Shoot us an email, shoot us a text, shoot us something, letting us know you're a business owner. We would love to have you on the show just to kind of highlight you and applaud you for the things that you do in the community. So, yes, we're going to do something special.
Yeah. Hey, Lord. We're going to do something special.
I so hate you, man.
I gotta be like that pastor that has entrance music.
Yes.
Hey, yo, I can imagine if I was like, what in the world is going on? We're gonna do something special for your band. Like, wait, what? Like, what is going on? Man, that's... Yeah, no, seriously, bro. Woo! That's going to be dope. That's going to be dope, man. That's going to be dope.
Yeah, man.
Somebody's got to appreciate these business owners, man. Doesn't matter if it's if your business just started or if you've been doing this for years, man. We're going to definitely do something special for business owners. Everybody deserves to kind of be shouted out, man. Shout out to actually, I'm going to wait for a second because I want to give God praise for somebody live here on the radio. Hey, good job, Brian, yesterday with the whole shout out to the wife, man. I was definitely listening before I got on. Good job.
Oh,
God, I was like, today's her birthday. Like, I didn't even know. I'm about to get on her live video, but I've been, the Saints have been wrestling with my schedule for this stupid recording, what have you. But happy belated to the mighty woman of God, the Reverend Dr. Bishop Apostle, pediatrician, and sometimes chiropractor on weekends. Her Grace, the Most Right Reverend, Alexis Crenshaw, we praise God for her life and the anointing that dwells so richly and deeply on her soul. Praise God for her. I said something today. I don't know if you guys were there. I hear a preacher say that, like, no, we don't go to your church. I said something today, and I want to echo it. And that simply was this. I know you got to praise, but I hope you're registered to vote.
Right.
You know, somebody else put, you know, all these things, you registered for convocation, but you ain't got no voice in America, you know. Get your priorities together. Make sure you vote. I'm going to tell you what's going to be a fun show. Was this going to be a fun show, Brian? The day of Election Day. That's going to be a fun show.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a whole lot of fun, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be, yo, have you seen this video? Well, on the last debate, they had free mics and people put, like, music to the video. Have you seen that video?
No.
It looked like they was doing a duet. Yo, that thing is funny to me, Slim. That thing is hilarious.
Man, I've been laughing at all of these memes going around, man, of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton singing to each other.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like, they made it into memes, but They like put music to the video.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious.
I'm like, what? That thing is funny.
I came across one with Donald Trump. I posted it yesterday. Donald Trump was singing what was he singing? I can't think of it. He was singing something, and it, when I tell you, that thing had me weak all day long.
That's funny.
That had me weak all day long. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be a great show, man. We really, really, like we always say, we don't really discuss politics. However, it is very important for you guys to vote.
Yes.
So we want you guys to be registered to vote. That's probably going to be the long and short end of us talking politics. Just make sure you're registered to vote.
That's please go get registered to vote. And while you're registered to vote, go get tested.
God.
For this is Speak Free Radio.
Oh my God,
bro! I have tears in my eyes right now.
Yeah.
Hey man,
you guys have to forgive Corey. He didn't take his medicine.
Listen,
today.
I don't know if it's the FDA or the FCA, but I just feel like we're gonna get shut down soon because we say the things your pastors are afraid to say. That's us,
right?
Those guys
right
on that radio show.
They don't want to go get.
Man.
They don't want to say go get tested because
they don't want
to.
But no. Listen, saints. Listen, it's very important, and this is the last we're gonna say about it. It's high amongst African Americans. Make sure you guys are healthy.
Absolutely.
Seriously, and that's not just
absolutely
with the, you know, that's not with just sexually transmitted diseases. Just in general, make sure you're healthy. We got to make sure.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't have high cholesterol. Make sure you don't have high, hypertension, diabetes, nothing like that.
got to be healthy.
Yeah.
So that you can be everything that God has called you to be in the earth. You don't want to die early because you had to have that double cheeseburger, and that double cheeseburger had to give you a stroke. So you make sure, seriously, you got to be healthy so that you can be everything that God has called you to be, and that way you when you do depart this earth, you don't depart this earth full. One of the greatest things I've ever heard in my life, Miles Monroe said, one of the liveliest places in America is the cemetery. One of the richest places in America is the cemetery, because he said there are so many dreams there, there are so many business ideas there, and there are so many visions there, because so many people don't understand the concept of working the vision and working the dreams while they're alive.
Absolutely.
He says, so the principle is, even if it may not prosper to the point that you feel like it should prosper, still work it.
Absolutely.
And so you got to be healthy to work it. You got to be healthy to work it. So, yeah, man, y'all, seriously, please register to vote and register to be healthy, too.
Register to be healthy.
No, I don't know. It sounded good in my head. It sounded stupid when I said it out loud. Shout out to Jalen Dixon, who was a major help today as far as the show. He knows what he did, and Brian kind of knows now what he did. He was a major help today. We praise God for Jalen Dixon. Yes, we praise God for Jalen.
Good job, little bro.
Major help to the show. So thanks, Jalen. I pray that. Thanks so much again to Jalen. He was major help for us. He definitely did some amazing things. So Jalen, go you. We appreciate you, Jalen. Thank you so much. Stop cracking cymbals. Now, it is our midweek show. I think people think that we just crack jokes all of our life. But wait, why do you have to laugh when I say that? I'm trying to be serious. I don't think people think that we're serious. But you gotta laugh a little bit in life.
You got to.
You know what I'm saying? Laughter is like medicine. And we're the healing that y'all need. Ah, Kenanamosha.
Go for it forever.
Like, what? Is he whispering?
When you're waiting for the move to be over?
Yeah. When you wait for the move to actually happen, like, amen.
Right. No, guys, amen. But on a serious note, like, we crack jokes a lot. However, there's a moment where we are serious. There are issues in the world that we find very serious to us. So don't just take our show for granted and think that we're always going to just be cracking jokes and talking about people in church.
I want to say something that's very serious. Did you just tell them not to take our show for granted? Hey, yo, I was over here like, wait, did he just say don't take our show for granted? Praise our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man, that was funny. Yeah, don't take our show for granted. Like, wait, what?
Nope. Don't take our show for granted.
Don't you dare. Not up in here.
Not up in here.
Speaking of take some time on November the 7th. There's a single coming out called Judah Praise. Take some time and go on over to iTunes, and you're more than welcome to pick it up. It's only 99 cents.
Absolutely.
And let it be a blessing to your soul. Somebody asked me, was I going to play it on the show? Yeah, absolutely not. And so go over to iTunes. pick it up on November the 7th. It'll be a great blessing to your soul,
absolutely,
your mind, and your body. Praise our God for that. Brian and I, we're very serious individuals, and we get serious when it's time to get serious. But it's so much laughter around this world. y'all do so much crazy things, you know. Y'all do so many crazy things. It's kind of like, how do you expect us not to laugh at y'all? Like, what do you want from us? Y'all want us? How do you expect us not to laugh at some of the crazy things that y'all do? Absolutely not. Yeah, you know. And, you know, Brian and I had talked to, you know, Brian and I said something a couple of years ago, because there was some people who used to get on our case and wake us up at 6 o'clock in the morning for prayer whenever we stayed over there. Ah, doesn't matter. Here's principle. They used to...
Oh, my God.
What? You know, I have a problem with you waking me up for prayer, but you're the only one who feels the fervence to pray. I got a small problem with that, you know. I got a little issue with you disturbing my sleep so that we can pray, but I don't feel a fervence for prayer at that time, you know. We're not
right.
In agreement. And my thing is, if we're gonna do this thing together, we have to agree. How can two walk? I feel a preach. How can two walk together except they agree? And some of y'all skip to Maluin with some of these people that you don't agree with. But can I get somebody on this radio show today that says I'm walking in agreement? Say it!
Preach, Reverend.
You know what the funny part is? I love them churches where the pastor be going off and the church don't be saying nothing.
He preaching to himself.
But the church be full. They be like, well, like, wait, he is in a hoop and y'all are sitting here. Yes, he is. Just like, you know, so. Glory to God. Yes, God. Mm.
So, I got a few hits. Concerning our identity crisis.
What's up?
Theory. Nothing. Nothing on the. On the contrary, I really thought we were going to open up a can of worms with the whole how can you lead people and you don't know who you are and how you start churches and you know, can't run your home, or how can you lead a group of people and you're 12. I really thought we were going to open up a can of worms with that. However, I'm receiving a lot of good feedback from that. So we hit a home run with the identity crisis. We hit a home run with that.
Look at that.
Look at God.
Ah, yeah, my mind.
Oh, bye.
Ha! You know, one of these days, y'all, I'm not sure if you guys are ready for it, but we're going to do an entire show in tongues. And,
I really thought about bringing my book back out, man.
Listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all something. Brian has this book. Brian has this book. It's called A Book of Tongues. I think it's called Language of the Holy Ghost. And the caption says, A Book of Tongues That You Might Know. Let me tell you. Didn't I create that cover?
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah. No, I think the funniest part was when people thought that thing was real.
Yes. I got all kind of congratulations.
I mean, it's a crying shame.
Oh, man. That was something, man. Oh, my God. That was 7 years ago.
Yeah, man.
That was 7 years ago. So what are we going to dive into today, Corey?
Well, today, since we have finished the talking, we have talked about musicians, and we've talked about their effectiveness and their sonship and their relationship, and we also talked about the need of getting rid of the identity crisis and we talked about that for 2 days. So today, I think it would be, we actually talked about yesterday, even we dived a little bit into talking about how prayer is not as influential in the body of Christ anymore. Today, I guess, I think for the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, we can actually talk about the necessity. You know, I really don't want to keep, you know, dealing with the whole, like, music department, but that's kind of like where our niche is. And even though it's not geared towards musicians today, I want to talk today and tomorrow about the necessity for worship leaders to actually be in tune. And to actually,
wow.
one of the greatest things as a worship leader that you can have is not only a prayer life, but you actually need the ability to sing. And so let's kind of spend today and tomorrow talking about the need and the necessity of worship leaders to be connected. Because we've talked about musicians, and we've talked about preachers, and we talked about people just having the identity crisis. But some people were asking me, you know, like, you know, what was my take on worship leaders? And sometimes I think people feel like musicians don't know because we're not worship leaders. But believe it or not, Brian and I both do lead worship. And so
we don't
talk to you from the places that we don't know about, because I can't speak for Brian, but I went through a season of an identity crisis. So that gives me the certificate, the badge, and the T-shirt to be able to talk about it. And so, yeah, I kind of want to talk about, you know, worship leaders being connected, and yeah, we can dive into that, man. I think that would be a good thing for us to kind of discuss for the next 2 days, just the importance of them being genuinely connected, not only to the service but just to the music department as a whole.
Absolutely.
I think that would be good, man. Have you So I guess we start here. Have you ever had any bad experiences as a musician with a worship leader?
I've had too many to name.
Oh, okay. Just make sure. Please keep all names. Please remove all names for the sake of the guilty.
Absolutely.
As well as the non-guilty, as well as the innocent.
Absolutely. I was having a conversation with some friends of mine last night. Shout out to Elder Stephon Dudley, who's actually listening to the show. We were talking about a post that somebody put on Facebook about the gifted and the anointed.
Wow.
Now, the post itself, I personally don't think that the post was written the way he meant for it to be written. However, I kind of understood where he was going with it. A lot of times we place gifted people in anointed positions out of necessity. And then we get mad because the anointing isn't there, but we place it in the hands of somebody who was only gifted.
Ready to start
early. A lot of our praise and worship teams, a lot of our music ministries are full with people who are gifted, but churches don't make the anointing a requirement. But you can't get mad if they don't set the atmosphere the way you want them to, because they don't have anything to base it off of. You know, and I made a comment yesterday, and I said, you know, the gifted have a stage as well. The gifted, there is a stage for the gifted. I'm not trying to be funny, but your clubs, your concert halls are full of church musicians, or musicians who started off in church but are playing in other venues. The anointed, however, that's the stage for their gifting. That's the stage for their gift to take place.
Hey, Brian, real quick, can I pause you right there?
Yes,
just a question. Next week, can we talk about church musicians playing secular gigs? Because that has been a major conversation. Because musicians ask me that all the time. Like, you know, people tell me, you know, you're wrong for playing a secular gig and all that stuff. And I mean, I've played a secular gig. Brian has played a secular gig. Heck, Brian and I played a secular gig together. And so, you know, rehearsed for it till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. He didn't up to move the floor. I'm still in the hurt place. Father, heal me. Heal me, God. Heal me, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm a sinner. So I want to talk about, you know, maybe next week we can dab into musicians playing secular gigs, because that's a major question that a lot of musicians, and I'm sure you get that question a lot as well.
I do.
Okay. But no, I as soon as I heard it, I'm like, yeah, we need to talk about that. But yeah, so you're saying that is their place of gifting. What do you mean by that?
Okay. Gifts are given without repentance. Right? But anointing is earned. You
wow.
have to do something. You have to do something to receive the anointing. Gifts are given. You know, I can walk, you know, up to my wife just, you know, out of, you know, just because, and say, hey, babe, here's some flowers. She did absolutely nothing but be her to receive that gift. However, for her to withstand me in my worst state, to love me in my downtime, to love me when I'm not at my best, that's not a just because. You have to work for that. You don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to love somebody through their mess, or I'm going to stick with somebody in their downtime. You have to work for that. It takes some time to get that into you. That's the same thing with the anointing. You have to go through something to be anointed. You have to work for that. You have to be disciplined to upkeep your anointing. So gifts are given. Anointing is earned. If I'm on stage with, you know, with Beyonce, she don't want me to heal nobody. She want me to play her record. She wants the gifting of my musicianship.
That's good, man.
However, when I'm in a spiritual setting and my music carries more weight than my hands can obtain, that's anointing, because my gifting is playing, but my anointing is healing. And I don't ever have to open my mouth. Because of the heart in which I play, my anointing is carrying the service. Now, that does not mean you're not anointed on stage with Beyonce. That just means your anointing is not required. She's not asking for your anointing. You can be anointed. She's not asking for it. However, in church, you are asked for your anointing. So I say all of that to say, a lot of praise and worship leaders are gifted, but they don't pray. They don't seek God's face outside of, you know, Sunday morning to you know, the anointing to break yokes, the anointing, you know what I'm saying, to set atmosphere conducive for miracles, conducive for healing. They don't do any work to obtain that anointing. So, yeah, I've come across a lot of praise and worship leaders who sing what sounds good because of their gifting, and not what's simple because of the anointing.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that people have left the importance of actually even having the anointing. I believe that, because, like I said, one of the major important things is being able to have the ability to sing, which is extreme. Trust me, it's extremely important.
Extremely important.
People have to be able to understand the concept that when it comes to service, or servitude rather, you got to be able to not only be able to be connected to the service, but as a worship leader, be able to take the service somewhere.
Absolutely.
And I think that that is a major thing that people have, like, lost, you know, is being able to actually take the service somewhere and being able to control the, being able to, you know, control the atmosphere. Like, I had a conversation with one of my sisters yesterday as we are preparing for the recording, and she asked me, she said, what do you believe you are? Because when I say this, Brian is going to be like, absolutely. She said, there's a difference. She said, what do you believe you are? I said, I'm not an artist. I'm a worship leader.
Right.
I am a worship leader who has music. I'm not an artist. You can't, like, there's just certain, like, Brian and I talked about that. Like, there'd be showcases and stuff, and he'd be like, bro, you know you can't do that because you're not an artist. It's just, it's not that, you know, people, like, something's wrong with artists. No, I am not trained for that. You can't put me in a place where, all right, Corey, we're going to do the showcase. You got 15 minutes. Because, right, I can say, I could do one song, and if I feel a move left, we're going left. Why? I'm a worship leader. I'm not an artist. And I believe that there are some, and this goes all with being connected to the service. And I believe that there are worship leaders who are trying to connect to a service, but they have an artist mentality.
Right.
And so I guess my question, and I'll give my two cents. Brian, what is the difference between a worship leader and an artist?
The only difference is, and it's not a difference because they both need to have this.
Yep.
You have to know your audience.
Yes.
You have to understand your audience. You know, Beyonce came to Raleigh a little over a month ago, and she shut the city down. I mean, in the rain and all, she shut the city down. And it was funny because you had a lot of the Saints who went to see Beyonce, and they got offended. Because you paid $300 to see Beyonce, but the same people who paid $300 to see Beyonce wouldn't sew at a local concert of a local artist. So you ask me, why is that? The difference between Beyonce and a local artist is Beyonce understands her audience, and Beyonce does what she needs to do to please her audience. If you're going to be an artist, you have to be an artist. You cannot claim to be an artist with a praise and worship mindset. Those
right.
are two different avenues. You cannot be a praise and worship leader with an artist mindset. Can you be both? Yes. You have to know when and when not to use it.
Wow.
I promise you, Fred Hammond is an artist. When he's in concert, when he's a sponsored guest at a concert, he flows in the parameters of his contract. If you call Fred Hammond to be a guest at a service, flows in the parameters of the service. He can be a praise and worship leader. He can take you in. However, he understands that the people who pay him money, the people who sign his checks aren't necessarily spiritual. Those big A&R, you know, those big A&R reps, those big executives, they don't want to see God. They want to know that you can touch people. They want to know that you can make them money. That's the difference in being an artist and a praise and worship leader. They want to know that you can flow along with the parameters given to you.
Wow.
That's the difference.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a point for me coming today. I can't foresee why Brian would have me on the show today. I mean, you in it, Red. It's so true though that, you know, that there is a difference between worship leaders, and there's a difference between worship leaders and artists. And so,
yes.
If you're a worship leader, but you got an artist mentality or an artist mindset, okay, cool. Know your lane. Not
and
saying
every
artist,
praise and worship leader is not called to be an
right.
artist.
And every artist.
Every artist is not called to be a praise and worship leader.
Exactly. And just because you can sing praise and worship songs doesn't mean you're a praise and worship leader.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
Exactly.
We know plenty of people.
I am a praise and worship leader. I am not an artist. I play for artists. Now, as a musician, I can conform to the artist mentality.
Yeah.
But as a praise and worship leader, I know nothing else. And I'm okay with that. I'm proud to be a praise and worship leader. Why? Because that's what I was called into. I was called to see the needs of people and allow my voice to be the help.
That's good.
You know, people try to, you know, pick it apart as to, you know, why do people say praise and worship is one of the most important parts of the service? Praise and worship is a direct extension of the pulpit. It's like a car. There are so many things that run, that work in a car, you know, outside of you getting behind the wheel, turning the key, and driving. If your starter is bad, you're not driving. You know what I mean? If your radiator is not flush, you're not driving. But there's so many specific entities in your car, you know what I'm saying, that creates the finished product. Praise and worship is what clears the atmosphere for the preacher to get up and do what he does.
Yep.
Praise and worship is the beginning. And if you ever, and this goes across the board, if you ever get in a service and you feel like it's just off, check the beginning. How you start is how you finish. If the preacher is preaching and it's like the crowd is just like out of it, check the start. If the preacher gets to the end of his word and you're just like, what did I miss? Check the start. Because how you start a thing is how you finish a thing. That's.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, I think a lot of people don't understand that worship leaders not only, they do protect and defend and help create an atmosphere. At the same time, their job is not only to create an atmosphere, but their job is to carry. And sometimes what I don't understand is worship leaders that create an atmosphere but can't carry what you created.
Right.
And I think that's a very dangerous place to be as a worship leader, is to create an atmosphere that you cannot carry.
You're exactly right. I tell my church all of the time, I say, anybody can lead a song. Anybody can lead a song. If you hear a song on the radio and you want to sing it, anybody can lead a song, but not a lot of people can lead people. If I'm leading a song, I have to lead people into the song. I have to make the song make sense to you, not just what I heard. And, you know, you said we create an atmosphere and we carry the atmosphere. Like, praise and worship leaders are managers. They're managers. You have to learn to manage the atmosphere that you created. You have to learn to to manage what you just started. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think it's just, well, I got the people up on their feet. The people are going in. The people are this and the people are that. Okay, now that they're with you, what do you have to offer them? Now that they're participating, what do you have to offer them?
Right, exactly.
Because a lot of people don't participate in praise and worship because they feel like they don't get anything. You stand up, you don't have a problem standing up 3 hours at a Beyonce concert because you know exactly what you're going to get. She's going to give you every inch of that $300 you paid to see her. And you're not going to even think about it. Man, I went and I saw Stevie Wonder last year. Stevie Wonder, as old as he is, still puts on a 5-hour show nonstop. Puts on a 5-hour show nonstop. The entire 5 hours. I mean, screaming to the top of my lungs. Why? Because it was a good show. He gave me everything that I paid for. However, you got people coming to church giving their money. Not for a show, but they need to receive something. You're telling me, you know, give and it shall be given unto you. You're telling me, you know, sow into what you want, sow this and sow that and sow in. I'm sowing, but I'm not receiving nothing.
Wow.
I came for a move of God, and I'm just hearing you fuss at me. Maybe the reason I'm not standing to my feet is because I can't. Maybe the reason I'm not lifting my hands is because I'm so burdened down because I didn't even think I would make it to church. How many praise and worship leaders would tap into that? How many praise and worship leaders would tap into the heart of somebody just barely making it to church? That's something to think about.
Yes, it is.
It is. That's something
because
to think about.
It's so like terrible in the sense because, you know, as worship leaders, one of the greatest things that go into being an effective worship leader is not only what you say, but
mm-hmm.
how you sing, what you sing, and also
mm-hmm.
what you sing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you have to be able to. One of the biggest things that Brian said is know your audience as a worship leader. You know,
yeah.
I made a joke last week. Our church, we don't do devotional. That doesn't work at United Nations Church International. We'll look at you like, okay, this is so pretty, but what are you talking about? Yeah, I'm sorry, did I say something wrong? Like,
no.
Like, oh my God, you guys sound so great. What song is this? Who sings this? Donnie McClurkin? Is this Donnie McClurkin? Like, no, this must be Kirk Franklin. This must be on that new Kirk Franklin album. Yeah, it doesn't work for us. And so
yeah.
You can't just, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't go well for us. And so I said all that to say that, you know, we know our audience. And so we know that. We can't, like, we have church tonight. We can't get up there living and loving, dying and saving. Our church is going to be like, oh, my God, this track is really nice. The band sounds great. But what song is that again?
Right.
You got to sing, like, my hallelujah belongs to you. I can't stand that song. But
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay, I hope RC's not listening. Okay.
That song takes
Brian, RC and I talked about it. It's give or take. It has its place. Look at me, that sound on salt. Like, it has its place. It's fine. Like, why are you so
I'm
mad?
I'm telling you,
like,
That song takes me under. And you know what I realized, and we said it the other few shows back, less is more. You know, I can sing, like, for the church that I'm at, I could sing "Thank You, Lord," the chant, the old Baptist chant, and they would fall under pews. Just simple, you know, like for real, like don't need a whole lot of words, don't need a whole lot of chord changes. Like the simple stuff, I promise you, gets them together all the time. But you got to know what works. You know what I mean? You got to know what connects. Now, can I go with all of the other stuff? Yes, I can. However, it wouldn't work with them because they can't connect. They can't relate. You know, they relate to the simplicity of God. I don't know how you did it, God, but thanks for doing it. I don't deserve it, but thanks for doing it. You know what I mean? Like, they really get into the simplicity of God. And sometimes that just works for people.
When you say it like that, like, I don't know how you did it, Jesus. Thank you so much, man. Like, but seriously, that's how
That's how they get it. That's how they get it. You know, now me, I'm new age, so I'm kind of torn between the two. Because, you know, I grew up an old soul. However, I'm new age, so I want to do all of the new stuff. With all of the musical hits. And my musicians look at me like, man, you got to be kidding me. So, you know, I just get my fix somewhere else. But, you know, as far as on Sunday mornings, it's straight simple. But the power of God falls because they can relate. Praise and worship leaders need to relate. They need to connect with their audience. They need to connect with the people that they're singing to. You know, like, even the... I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if it's a fad up north or not, but it's becoming a fad down here. A lot of churches do praise and worship in the dark. You did?
Did you say, wait. You said what?
People do praise and worship in the dark.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought you said.
But, you know, I have
hold on, wait. I gotta clarify something because somebody just texted me.
Okay.
I don't know if RC, like, somebody was like, I hope RC's not listening. It's not that I don't like what the band played.
Right.
Just don't like the song. Like, the band they played it simple. They played it great. They conveyed the song absolutely wonderful. I just don't really care for the song. Like, Your
right.
Mighty is a little more kind of up my alley. Your Mighty, y'all, like, that's see. I love RC, did a great job. RC Brandon,
yes,
Sean,
did.
Dre, all of them killed. Don't get it twisted. I'm just like, okay, the song is pretty. It's a very cute song. It's kind of the same way I thought about every praise.
So not that I dislike every praise.
Oh, see, there we go. Yeah, see, they played it out. They played it
but
out.
The
and
first
I didn't really,
time,
I didn't, Lord.
The first time I heard every praise, they got to that God, my Savior part, and
they
I
got
was
slap
under
happy.
A pew. I was
man,
under
man.
A pew bawling like a third grade girl. I mean,
the first
I was
time I heard
crying
every praise,
terrible.
I was at this apostolic church, and they played it like, they played. After I heard the record, they played it right. But I heard this song, and this church is going up, and I'm sitting there like, what is this? Like, who sings this? And I'm like, it's a new Hezekiah Walker. Man, you ain't never heard it? First of all, Hezekiah Walker's still making music. Like,
right.
That's my first thought.
I've never
like,
heard
wait.
It before.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? Like, why are they going off? I mean, the saints were going up, yo. I was like, what is this about? And I mean... Yes, he is. And I'm giving, what is this? Here's what made
what
me so mad.
He? What is it?
They get to the end. You know, every praise, ba 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 ba. Every praise is to our God. But come on, praise him. Clack, clack. One. Here's what made me mad. The thought the song was the dumbest thing in the world. That's not what made me mad. What made me mad was, despite that I thought it was dumb, it worked. That church went off. I was like, what song is this? I heard the original. First of all, the original was like 45 minutes. And so,
yeah. Shout out to Aaron Lillard, man, the original arranger of this song.
Yeah, like
the original arranger.
I'm just sitting there like, okay, the song works. I've kind of rearranged it, slowed it down, put a little stank on it, and so
yeah.
I do it for what works for me. But you deserve it. It has to grow on me. Yeah, I think. Matter of fact, I think we're singing it for praise and worship tonight. I'll go live. I'll let you know how it goes. It's our church
man,
last week.
You.
I played it, but like Brian said, it's so easy. Like that song is so easy. You could call the numbers out in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not musically difficult. Don't you dare.
I will.
I'm sure you will.
I will.
See?
They're going to look at me like I'm crazy, but I will. But, like, all in all, like, what we're saying is, you know, praise and worship leaders, musicians, you have to not only develop a relationship with each other, however, develop a relationship with God and your pastor.
Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for wording the mouth of your prophet.
Mm.
Go ahead. I think that's the problem.
You have
the problem is that, I think the problem is that too many musicians have relationships with the worship leaders. I really think that's part of the problem. You know? You know? How about Hashanah? Hallelujah.
Well, there you have it.
All right, well.
Yeah,
no, I mean, but it's serious. So, like, I think that's part of the problem. That,
yeah.
You know, we're tainting our own ability.
Wow.
And, people probably, you know, I'm sort of saying, y'all probably think I'm trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. We're tainting our own ability. And so it's hard for us to fight through together when the keyboard player is sleeping with the alto. And the drummer is sleeping with the worship leader. And the bass player is sleeping with the soprano. And we're trying to come together to create an atmosphere and all of our hands are dirty.
These things are true.
I'm just here to help the saints. So yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like straight up. Like is how can we work together? Oh my God, I'm about to get in trouble. How can we work together when we're working together?
You have a point. You definitely have a point.
Yo, Brian is about to get on my case as soon as this show is over. I swear, yo. They're going to shut us down. That's fine. And until they do, I'm going to speak the truth. Nothing but the truth. The whole truth. So help me, dog. Y'all don't want the truth. Y'all don't want it. But seriously, like, how can we work together if that's what's going on? It's going to be hard to work through the atmosphere together. You know what I'm saying? So how can you play a foul spirit off a person when you're the foul spirit? Like, you know, we're not saying to you as a worship leader that every Sunday you're going to get up there and be like, boo. No, we're not saying that to you. There are going to be some Sundays where the people are not going to move at all. That don't mean that you slack on your delivery. And I've seen that way too many times where worship leaders give up, just completely give up because they feel like the people are not responding. Well, we don't really do what we do for responses.
Exactly. So what's the mission? And I use the word mission very loosely. What is the mission, or should be the mission, of every praise and worship leader?
I believe I was taught as a worship leader, your job is to touch the heart of God. I've been taught is your job is one, to touch the heart of God, and secondly, you are a tour guide. So there is no such thing as, I'm going to go in for myself. No. That's not your job as a worship leader. As a worship leader, as an effective tour, if you've ever taken a tour, as a tour guide, you open the door and you invite these people into this room. And the tour guide is the last person in the room. A tour guide is to open the door, walk in, and shut the door.
Right.
Right. You close the door behind you, which is you are the last person in. So we, as a worship leader, you should be inviting people into the space that you've been in all week.
Right.
And so sometimes as a worship leader, I think it's hard because you're inviting us into a space that you're kind of trying to come into yourself.
And you want to know what? It's interesting that you say a tour guide. One thing that you have to understand is if you are a tour guide, you know the place in which you're guiding. You know your way around, you know, where you're trying to lead people to. If I'm going to go to the White House, and somebody's going to give me a tour of the White House, you have to know the White House for yourself. A lot of praise and worship leaders are inviting people into a space that they don't know. They're inviting people into a place where they've never been. Yeah, you can sing. Yeah, you can riff. You can do this. And you can run songs together. But are you inviting people into an atmosphere that's conducive for what they need? And once you invite them in and they say, yes, I'll go with you, you have to make them confident and comfortable to be there. I've never, ever, ever followed a tour guide that made me uncomfortable. If they were unsure, I was unsure. That's the blind leading the blind. I'm not going to follow you if you don't know where you're going. A lot of people get into worship and don't know how to maneuver. A lot of people get into worship and they lose themselves and they cannot maneuver. So what happens? You see the audience participation kind of slack up. You see the audience participation back off because they realize you don't know how to maneuver yourself. How are you going to protect me? I've never been here before. I don't know what this looks like. But how are you going to make me safe? That's the question we need to ask ourselves as praise and worship leaders. Are you making the people that you guide comfortable to follow you? Because
wow.
I can get lost on my own. You know, It's the worst thing to be in a line of cars and you ask the person leading, you know where you're going? Yeah, man, I know where I'm going. And they taking all these side streets and they leaving you at red lights and they cutting down these back streets. And you're like, dog, I should have found this place on my own. Because not everybody's a leader. You know how to get there for yourself, but can you pull somebody else along? Or can you push somebody along? Oh, my God, this is crazy. And I'm going to let this go. I never understood in the 27 years of living why my dad led from the back. Anytime we went somewhere, my dad had to preach. My dad said, y'all get in front of me, and I'll bring up the rear. He would give the person in front directions, and he would bring up the rear. And he said, if anything happens to anybody anybody that's supposed to be with me, I can monitor them. You can't look back if you're leading people, pushing people forward. So that's just something that we as praise and worship leaders need to think about.
Wow. Oh. Almost had a preach, Ray. Nah, but wow.
Speak your mind. Express yourself.
Worship tomorrow. This is your boy, Corey Mickey, signing off.
Express yourself.
This is your boy, Brian.
All
yourself.
It is.
Yeah.